Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Let's look at the scripture. We're looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. This is the resurrection passage from Luke's Gospel. And I'm going to read the first 12 verses. So hear the word of God. Luke 12, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. And they found that the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for this, your holy word, for the message of the resurrection, the empty tomb, and that he is not here, he is risen. I pray, Lord, that Jesus would be risen in our lives, and in this service might you be glorified. Amen. Amen. The memory verse, often in this passage, you would always want to focus on the words that the angel, "He is not here, he is risen." But the first two verses kind of fit a little better. So could you recite these with me, verses 1 and 2? On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Luke 24, 1 and 2. Amen. In Exodus chapter 12, okay, that's Exodus, that's in the Old Testament, that's the Ten Commandments, Exodus, Moses, and Exodus. It says in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you.'" What we find in this passage is that the Exodus experience, this is the delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, was to be a brand new beginning for them. The first month, the beginning of months, the beginning of the year, it was a brand new life, brand new beginning. If you get down to verse 14, it says, "Now this day will be a memorial for you. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." A permanent ordinance. You see, the Exodus experience where they were delivered out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and they crossed to the Promised Land, this was the beginning of Israel as a great nation. All the promises to Abraham were starting to be fulfilled as a great nation in this passage. They went to Egypt, they were just a small tribe. They had about 70 people total. But 400 years later, they left Egypt, and they were over a million strong. They had become a great nation. And this was where God really made them to become the people of God. In the wilderness, they received the Ten Commandments. He revealed to them what it meant to be followers, what it meant to be, the people of God. And he had delivered them by his strong and mighty hand. Now, the Passover, which was supposed to be this permanent ordinance for them, the Passover was fulfilled by Jesus at the Last Supper. Now, when I say fulfilled, I mean, number one, it was completed. But number two, Jesus gave it its fullest meaning. He really explained what it really meant, that Jesus said, I am the Lamb of God. This is the new covenant in my blood. And so we find the fulfillment of the Passover and in Jesus at the Lord's Supper, and now in Holy Communion as a permanent ordinance, we celebrate. It says, as long every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death, when? Until he comes. So it has become a permanent ordinance for us. The Passover was a the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion was a fulfillment of that Passover. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and following says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. If you skip down to verse 18, he says, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Jesus will have first place. He is the firstborn again from the dead. So now, forever, the empty tomb stands as a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Forever stands. What do they say? What do you say about the empty tomb? Well, the Jewish authorities said that they paid the soldiers to say, we slept, and while we were sleeping, the disciples came and stole the body. Now, number one, I don't care how smart you are, you know that's a lie. If you were sleeping, how do you know what happened, right? And you say, well, no, we woke up. Well, then you're going to tell me a ragtag bang, a gang of fishermen and tax collectors overthrew Roman soldiers? I mean, you watched all the, I don't know, the Marine or Chuck Norris movies, right? He can kill you with his pinky, right? And that's a Roman soldier. So you're going to tell me a bunch of civilians overthrew these Roman soldiers? That didn't happen. Jesus, the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. He rose again from the dead. Another argument was that the women went to the wrong tomb. I mean, that would make sense. They were weeping. The tomb was open, and they went in. There's nobody there. They went to the wrong one, right? Well, that's simple to fix. Show us the right one, right? I mean, think about it. We have tombs of King David's tomb. You can go to Israel today. David lived 1,000 years before the time of Christ. They know where his tomb is. All of our presidents, we know where their tombs are. Even King Tut, the child king in Egypt, we know where his tomb is. So show us the right tomb if we're at the wrong one. But they did have the right tomb. It's the empty tomb because Jesus is alive. And so today, Sunday, Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Easter is the first day of forever, and I want to unpack that in three different ways. First, Easter is the first day because it became the Lord's Day. It became the day that we worship as the church. It says, on the first day of the week, almost every one of the Gospels say that, on the first day of the week, that meant Sunday morning, they came to the tomb bringing spices that they had prepared. For the church, what day? What day is today? Sunday. Why do we come to church on Sunday? The Lord said the Sabbath was the day to worship. The Lord said the Sabbath, the seventh day, Saturday was the day to worship. So why are we here on Sunday? Why are we worshiping today? Well, because of the Lord's Day. It's the day of the resurrection. It's Easter Sunday. That's why we worship on Sundays. Now, the Jews, they were very serious about the Sabbath. It started out in creation, right? Chapter Genesis 1, Genesis 2. It tells us that 7 days, 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day he rested. He said it will be a day of rest. So the Jews honored that as a day of rest throughout all their generations. You remember when they were in the wilderness and they had to gather manna, right? Remember they had to go out and get a quart of manna every day? But what happened on Saturday? Come on. No manna. So Friday they had to collect 2 quarts. And every other day if you took too much it spoiled. But on Friday it didn't spoil because there was no manna coming on Saturday. It was a day of rest. They were serious about it. Even in the Babylonian captivity, I don't know if you know the accurate history of what happened, how the Pharisees kind of came to be. But the Jews got to the Promised Land. And when they were there in the Promised Land, when things began to prosper, they turned to worship idols. And because they worshiped idols, they were kicked out of the Promised Land. We know it as the Babylonian captivity. And for 70 years, they were in exile in Babylon. And when they came back from Babylon, they decided, we will never worship idols again. This will never happen to us again. And so what they actually would develop is this Pharisaical mindset. And so you had the Ten Commandments, and then they had a whole bunch of laws around the Ten Commandments to protect you, so you make sure you didn't break the Ten Commandments. Then they had all this law and legal writings. And the Pharisees became these super righteous people that would tell everyone how to avoid breaking any of these commandments. And they went too far the other way. Instead of being the people of God, now they became the people of the law, the people of this religion, instead of the people of God. And so when Jesus comes, what happens? Well, the Pharisees, remember, they condemned, they even had it listed how many heads of grain you could pluck off before it was considered work. I've been on farmers' fields, and I know what it's like. You can, when the grain is ripe, you can take your fingers and just catch the head of grain in your fingers, and you get a little handful of like wheat or barley or oats, and you can roll it in your hand and get rid of all the hulls, and all you have is the seeds, and you can throw it in your mouth and chew it. It is not good. I don't know why they get that idea. I have never enjoyed that, but I've always tried it. I think, oh, maybe it'll be good this time. Like, nah, not good this time. But anyway, remember the disciples were hungry and they were walking through the wheat field. And so what did they do? They were gathering grain and they were rubbing their hand and they were eating it. The Pharisees were counting. Oh, you picked one too many heads. You're working on the Sabbath. And they gave them a grief. And other times Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And why would they get upset about that? Why? Jesus said, shouldn't you do good on the Sabbath? And they had a law that if it's not life-threatening, then you couldn't do it on the Sabbath. You couldn't heal on the Sabbath. You had to wait till Sunday, right? I mean, so if the guy's not going to die, well, he's been sick for a while anyway. Just wait till another day. One more day is not going to hurt. So they were serious about this Sabbath stuff. So what happened that the early church, which was mostly Jewish in the beginning, began to worship on Sunday? What happened? The resurrection happened. Easter happened. Jesus arose on, that's why we call it the Lord's Day. Everything was changed. Everything was changed because of the resurrection of Jesus. The Passover was fulfilled in the Last Supper, the Holy Communion. The tomb is empty. Jesus truly has risen from the dead. So now every day is a first day. Amen? God's mercies are new every morning. Every day is a mini, every week Sunday is a mini Easter, right? It's a mini resurrection day. But truthfully, every day is a mini resurrection, right? I'm glad to see you all rise this morning. You made it. Some of you don't look like you're completely with it, but you're mostly there, yeah? So it's a resurrection day. The Lord's Day has become the new first day. Secondly, Easter is also the first day of our lives as children of God. As a child of God, Easter has become that first day, the first day of the rest of my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says what? If anyone is in Christ, they are a what? New creation. Talk about how they told, you know, Moses told them this will be the first month, the first of the year. Well, friends, when you accept the risen Lord as your Savior, it is the first day of the rest of your life. It is the first day of your eternal life. Colossians 1:18 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn again from the dead. So if he's the firstborn, that makes us the secondborn, thirdborn, fourth, right? We're the followers of Jesus. Amen? The firstborn again from the dead. The empty tomb, the resurrection really happened. Really happened. It's a historical event. We celebrate. It is the foundation of our faith. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I often quote Oswald Chambers. Yesterday when I was reading Oswald Chambers, usually when I get done with Friday, my sermon doesn't change. Well, I went back and added a couple quotes from Oswald Chambers because it was so inspiring yesterday. He said, "Our Lord's cross is the gateway into his life. His resurrection means that he has the power to convey his life to me. When I was born again, I received the very life of the risen Lord from Jesus himself." Get that? I get the resurrected life of Jesus in me when I accept him. And that resurrected, and I read Oswald Chambers every day. I probably read this thing 10 times. Never noticed it before. He rose to an absolutely new life, a life that he had never lived before he was God incarnate. He rose to a life that had never been before. Can you think, do you know how seldom new stuff happens, right? When the Ecclesiastics writer says that nothing new under the sun, isn't that true? Every time something new comes to me, I'm like, wow, that never happened before. I learned something new today. I mean, I'm kind of amazed. Can you think of Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, when he came through the grave, that he had never been in that resurrected body before? It was a human body of flesh and blood that was now was resurrected from the grave. And he is in a body that he never had before. And that's why it says we don't know what we will be, but when we see him, we will be like him. When we see him as he is. Amen? That's going to be our resurrected body. Oswald Chambers says, he rose to a light that had never been before, and what his resurrection means for us is that we are raised to his risen life, not to our old life. That's the Christian life, my friends. The life of the eternal resurrected life of Jesus living in us by the Holy Spirit. Wow. Think about it. And this is, Jesus really was resurrected. It wasn't just an image. It isn't just a theory. It isn't even just a vision. In Luke, if you read on in the Luke's gospel, I didn't read this far down, but down around verse 36 and following, Jesus appeared behind locked doors to the disciples. And they were all shocked. They were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And what does Jesus say? Come on, guys. Like, it's me. He said, do you have something to eat? And they gave him a piece of fish. And he ate it. Not because he was hungry. Maybe he just liked to eat. But he wanted to prove to them, it's real. I'm in a glorified body. This is a real body. It's not an image. It's not a ghost. It isn't a figment of your imagination. It's me. It's me. Jesus has risen from the dead. A real physical resurrection. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that if there is no resurrection, then that means Jesus is not raised. And if Jesus is not raised, then our faith is vain and our preaching is worthless, is vain. My friends, the bedrock of our confession. I mean, I believe the Bible when I need the Word of God. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. But the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of our faith. He is alive today, and he is alive in our lives. He is the first born again from the dead. I know the empty tomb is a big deal, and we want to celebrate that. It is a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. But let's focus on the life part, right? When you're eating peanuts, what do? Do you crack the peanuts and then eat the shells? Well, some of you do. I've seen you. But no, we eat the peanuts. You throw the shells away. I mean, I'm not a very good egg cracker. Some of you may be better. I've seen some of you guys can do two eggs at one time. I have troubles with one. You know, and then it won't crack, and then it really cracks, and I got shells everywhere. I'm getting pretty adept at getting shells out of a hot skillet. Anybody ever done that? You're like in there fishing with your finger trying to get that shell on. We don't eat the shells. We eat the good stuff. The resurrected life of Jesus is the good stuff. Amen? Don't just focus on the empty tomb. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it abundantly. The abundant life begins when we accept Jesus. The life of eternity, the resurrected life of Jesus begins in us when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. On Thursday night in the communion service, the dismissal words that I was giving you as you took communion and you got up, I was actually quoting Romans 6. I wasn't really quoting it, but I knew it was coming from Romans 6. Romans 6 says, therefore you have been buried with him through baptism into death. So as Christ was raised from the dead, so we too might walk in newness of life. We have died with Christ and we have been resurrected with him. We are seated at the right hand of God the Father with him in the resurrection. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, we are a new creation. The new has come, the old is gone. So Jesus has really risen from the dead. Now, if you read this passage in Luke verse 11, I did read this one. It says, when the women came and told the disciples about the empty tomb, it said, these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they did not believe them. You know, the disciples don't fare very well in their Easter story, do they? I mean, they look bad, right? I mean, they follow Jesus for 3 years, and then what? They argue about who's going to get the chief seats at the meal, and then they betray him, and then they deny him, and then they all forsake him. I mean, they look bad. And now in the resurrection, they're hiding behind locked doors for fear of their lives, and the women are going to the tomb to anoint the body to face the Roman soldiers, right? I mean, that's not good. And then when they come and tell them, they don't believe them. They still don't get it. What on earth could take a bumbling bunch of fools like the disciples and turn them into powerful evangelists? What could take the Simons and make them Peters, the Sauls and make them Pauls? It's the resurrection of Jesus. Doubters become believers when they see Jesus alive. Actually, we believe that the writers of the book of James and the book of Jude were the brothers, the half-brothers of our Lord Jesus. Can you imagine believing that your brother, your half-brother at least, is the Messiah? I mean, they had a little problem with that. Actually, during his ministry, the brothers and Mary came to get him, thinking he had lost his mind. But after the resurrection, they now became believers. When they met, if you meet your brother risen from the dead, back to life after 3 days, you're going to probably believe anything they say. And that's what transformed. The resurrection, the appearance of Jesus. In my own life, the Lord took a fearful, whatever it is, whatever kid, with no purpose, and made me a child of God and gave me a witness and a purpose. He transformed my life. Drug addicts are turned into dedicated fathers and mothers and grandmothers and grandpas. Fearful and anxious people are turned into confident peacemakers and overcomers. Amen. Amen. The sick and the lame are turned into vibrant and strong folks. He can do it for you as you put your faith in him. Jesus, our risen Lord, the tomb is empty. But like I said, don't focus on that. Let's focus on the new life in Christ. Let's focus on the ascension. Let's focus on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the resurrected life of Jesus poured into the life of the church. Let's focus on the second coming. You know, we're going to be coming with him. If you read that, Revelation 19 says he'll be coming on a white horse. And all of us will be on white horses too, with him. Because he will have raptured us and we'll be coming back with him. Jesus is here today. The old gospel sermon they used to say about Friday, you know, how sad Friday was. It says, but Sunday's coming. But Sunday's coming. But Sunday's coming. Guess what? Sunday has come. Amen. Jesus is alive. He is here today. He is here for you if you will receive him. Easter is now the first day of forever. Easter is the first day of eternity. It says he was the head of the body, the first born again from the dead, so that in everything he will have preeminence, he will be first. Eternal life begins with the resurrection of Jesus. If you read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, down towards the end, it's a long chapter, it talks about how when Jesus died, that there was an earthquake and the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And it said that the earthquake was so strong that tombs were opened. It wasn't just the empty tombstone rolled away, but other tombs were opened, and that the saints were resurrected after the resurrection, and they walked into the city of Jerusalem and appeared to many. After the resurrection, Jesus was the first to be resurrected, and we all follow him. Again, Oswald Chambers says, when Jesus prayed in Luke 17, you have given him authority over all flesh that he should give life, eternal life to as many as you have given him. He says the term Holy Spirit is actually another name for the experience of eternal life working in human beings here and now. The Holy Spirit is the deity of God who continues to apply the power of the atonement by the cross of Christ in our lives. I love that phrase. It is the experience of eternal life. It actually says one place that this Holy Spirit is a foretaste, a down payment of heaven. It is eternal life poured into us today. So we will begin our living forever today because of Easter, because of our relationship with Christ. Is Jesus your resurrection and life today? That's a good question. John chapter 11, you all know that as the Lazarus passage, the raising of Lazarus. John chapter 11, Mary and Martha were grieving, and when Jesus finally showed up 4 days late, they said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he said, do you believe this? And Martha said, I believe that you are the Son of God who should come into the world. I believe, yes, I believe. Well, and just a little bit later, she was going to give an opportunity to prove that. Because anytime we say that I believe, belief demands an action. Jesus was telling them that he's not going to be raised someday, or if I had been here in the past, he's saying, I am here today. I am the resurrection and the life today, now. We have no fear of death as children of God. We have no fear of judgment. Our sins were taken by Jesus on the cross, and we are forgiven. Someone needs to hear that today. And I can forgive others because of the cross. Easter is that first day of forever. Your forever begins the day you put your faith in Christ. But as I said, do you believe? He said to Mary, Martha, do you believe? And she said, yeah, I believe you are the Lord. You are the Son of God who should come into the earth. And as I said, every act of belief requires an action. And her opportunity happened in just a moment because Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus. And what did he say at the tomb? Roll away the stone. What did Mary say? Martha say? Martha said, it's been 4 days. And there will be a stench. But Lord, there will be 4 days. We all have our own but Lords, don't we? But it's been what? But you don't know my family. But you don't know my kids. But you don't know my addictions. But you don't know my job situation. You don't know my health issue. But you don't know how I've been abused. But Lord, you don't know where I've been. We all have our buts. Jesus said to Martha, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Some of you here this morning need to hear, in spite of your buts, but Lord, but, he is saying, if you will believe, you will experience the glory of God. They rolled the stone away and they saw the greatest miracle that ever happened. I think the Lord wants to do a miracle in some of your lives this morning, if you will trust him. As I said, every act of belief requires an action. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to act. And what that action is going to be is you're going to stand right where you are. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to have you stand. Now, and then eventually after you've all stood, the one to stand, then I'm going to have everyone stand and we're going to pray together. If you have never accepted Christ, if you never confessed him as Lord, you never ask him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins, you need to stand this morning if God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Christ. You need to start. Today needs to be the beginning of months, the beginning of the year. You need a fresh start today. My friends, God offers that to you. That's what Easter is all about. Maybe you need to stand. Maybe you need this just the glory of the Lord to fill your life in a fresh way. Maybe you need a healing touch. But whatever you need, I'm going to count to three and I want you to stand. And then we're all going to stand together. So if the Lord is speaking to you and you want to receive him for the first time, you want to recommit your life to Christ, you just want to receive what he has for you, I want you to stand. 1, 2, 3. Please stand right now. Go ahead. All over. Go ahead. If God is speaking to you, you stand. Okay, amen, amen. Let us all stand with them. Let us pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, would you say that? I believe you are the Son of God, has come into the world, and you died for my sins, and you rose again. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and life. Fill me with eternal life. And I will follow you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Give the Lord a hand. Amen. We're going to sing several worship songs. The altars are open. If you want to, you prayed and you made the commitment to the Lord, you want to seal that at one of these altar rails or here at the front, whatever, you come. If you just want prayed for, you're welcome to come. Just mind the Lord. Let him be the Lord of this, the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.